DGS Dave on vacation for another day. Well, really technically till Monday. He's got the weekend coming up. He'll be back on Monday. The rest of the gang here. Sue Thomas has joined us for the 2 o'clock hour. Sue at 2. Hi, Sue.
How are you?
Good, good. We were just talking about the both the ups and the downs, if you will, of the Red Hot Chili Peppers during the top of the hour. You know, that like Dave doesn't like them, right?
No, not a fan.
Yeah, I like their old stuff, like that's a little faster, edgier, louder. And then once they realized that Under the Bridge was a hit, they did everything like that. And I don't like anything after that. But that one's good, though. But that's a Stevie Wonder remake.
So. I have two newish, not newish, but within the last 15 years
Let's
songs
see what
that I'm going to play.
We'll see how they go.
All right.
We'll see how they go.
They are, I know that we won't get too deep into this because it's not really a deep thoughts thing, but they are very, they're a very divisive group in amongst people that either love or hate them.
Yeah.
Like there's a, there are wide, you know, a lot of bands, like people kind of like, meh, or they, yeah, I like them, but this is one where there's a lot of either devotion or hatred.
Yeah, that's interesting because I'm neutral.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm pretty neutral these days. I grew up loving them, but nowadays I don't like intentionally listen to them very much. To be honest, I'm playing them because sometimes the bumper music just gets a little stale and we got to mix it up.
Fair.
And I'm like, all right, they kind of fit in with the rest of the music I'm playing today. But
yeah, when you play like especially that one and some of the older ones, they have the right pace. They have the right energy level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I didn't like about the change. But like I also like heavier music and their older stuff was heavier. I kind of feel about them like I do Def Leppard. It's kind of the same thing. Like the early stuff I really still like, and then after that, I didn't like it very much.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Where is Dave? Is he in Colorado?
Yeah.
Well, he's home now.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right. That's
right. He came home yesterday.
Did he have fun?
I believe so.
All right, we'll find out. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'll answer for him. Yeah, I had fun, too.
Good. Good to know. All right.
We were joking earlier, Sue. I mean, like Rachel and I joked about quote unquote trading places, like pretending to be each other on the air. And I think, I don't know. What did we decide, Rachel? We decided which would be the more difficult task. I think it would be more difficult for you to be as loud as often as me.
Yeah. Like I said, I would just get tired. I would get worn out real quick.
But I would have a hard time though. Like I would have a hard time.
Holding back,
being yes, like not being loud, like not doing that, not being the wheeler, just can't help it.
Well, you are the wheeler.
I know. Well, uh-huh. I don't know if I want to start that whole the thing. That's probably
the wheeler.
Sound like
it's the Dave Glover Show hosted by the wheeler.
With the wheeler,
oh,
he's
no.
That guy. No. All right, I'm with you. Let's not do that. What's new with you?
Let's see. Not much. I just did an interview. With the person who runs, why is her name escaping me? But who runs Clementine's, you know, the great
Tamara.
Place.
Yeah.
Tamara, right?
Yes, Tamara. That's
Tamara,
it.
Sorry.
And you're right, because I had to ask how to say that. It's Tamara. And she has come up with, you know, it's the 120th anniversary of the 1904 World's Fair, and it's National Ice Cream Day on Sunday. So she came up with four
flavors. Oh, they put that. I get what
flavors.
They did there.
You see that? Four flavors that are celebrating the World's Fair, and they are awesome. So I've eaten ice cream, and I haven't eaten sugar in a while, and I'm like, wait,
so you're
what?
You're about to be like me.
No, I just had one scoop of each.
Uh-oh.
But man, were they good. And it was kind of an interesting thing. Well, they tried to tie those two things together. That ice cream is seriously good.
Oh, yeah.
Ice cream is just good.
Isn't it like small batch ice cream?
Yes.
And it's churned super slow.
Yes. They're a micro
so
creamery.
Good.
And they had this one flavor for the World's Fair that's got banana ice cream, cherry ice cream, and chocolate, because the banana split or the banana split sundae was invented at the World's Fair or was a big thing there.
Oh, nice.
I did not know that.
See? And she said since they hand make every batch, in every pint of this, Rachel, they hand pipe the three different flavors because they don't do anything by machine to fill the pints. So they had to pipe this, or at least for this flavor, it's three different ones in there. Oh, there's nothing better than a real banana ice cream.
Mm. It's good stuff.
So that's what I've been doing.
Didn't they invent like the ice cream cone or something for that too?
Yes. That was invented, although there's some dispute on that. Apparently a guy had a patent for a waffle bowl. that they put ice cream in. But mm-hmm. at the World's Fair, they were rolling it up at the waffle and making it into a cone. So it's a fine line.
So the waffle cone was the first cone.
The waffle cone? I don't know. I think so. Yeah.
It
wow.
sounded like
I think
it, yeah.
so.
That's also the best cone.
Yeah, I like a waffle cone.
Yeah. Cake cone? No, thanks.
Cake cone?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Is that just the normal cone?
The normal, like,
oh,
little,
okay.
yeah. like the little wafery kind.
Yeah.
That's kind of, yeah.
I mean, I still like those.
Yeah, but not they're not the waffle cone.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. That is decided.
okay.
Since we're talking about food, do you want to do fast food news?
Why not? Yeah. That'd work.
Okay. So Red Lobster has introduced a new Flavor Flav's Faves meal.
Oh, my gosh.
So
Red Lobster?
Red Lobster.
Yeah. See what this is.
He's been trying to save Red Lobster, as we all recall.
yes. Yeah. He ordered everything on their menu.
You're right.
Wait a minute. I don't know this. Is he going to bat for Red Lobster?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He heard they were going bankrupt, and he ordered everything off their menu and posted it on Twitter.
Okay.
To encourage others to do the same.
He loves the biscuits.
All right. Me too.
Yeah, he wants the whole place saved.
I like him a lot.
Of course.
Yeah, he's
the best.
Incredibly entertaining person. He is collaborating with Red Lobster to do some Flavor Flav signature meals. So you can choose between the main lobster tail, garlic shrimp scampi, bacon mac and cheese, and snow crab legs, plus your choice of one side, all for a suggested starting price of $39.99.
He's not going cheap, is he?
No.
No.
If you're getting crab legs and lobster tail on the same plate.
Yeah, interesting Red Lobster to be like, we're going out of business. Here's our save the business plan. It's $40 even.
I know.
Well, they were probably doing that endless shrimp for way too cheap.
I agree.
Now they've got to put us at a more reasonable price for the
maybe just
crab legs.
Don't do endless shrimp.
Yeah. Like, I think they've put the...
Because, people can eat a lot of shrimp.
Endless shrimp's actually not the reason that they got in that situation, though.
I can't imagine.
No, they got... they.
Is
so
it the biscuits?
No, it was their new owners sold off the land that they own, that they used to own. They sold that land to somebody else, who then is leasing it back to them for a price that most of them can't afford.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's
just some bad, some bad owner messing around.
You don't really want to sign up for a crab leg anything that's too cheap.
Absolutely.
You know what
I
mean?
Couldn't agree more.
That's true.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
No, that's a tremendous point.
So McDonald's is debuting a new Kit Kat banana split McFlurry to beat the summer heat. Speaking of banana splits, they use soft serve vanilla ice cream for the base and throw chunks of crunchy Kit Kat bars inside, along with strawberry clusters and bits of real banana. For some reason, McDonald's really wants us to know that they're using real banana
because
in their banana splits.
Fake banana is the worst of the fake flavors. Who can fight me?
Oh, I see what you're saying. artificial banana flavoring.
Yes, I think fake watermelon isn't great, but to me, the worst fake flavor to have is banana. That's why they're doubling down.
I really like bananas, and I do not like banana splits.
What?
Interesting.
Why?
Well, first of all, they're just better versions of ice cream sundaes, because the banana gets a little frozen, and it gets a little weird.
But I mean,
like, I eat bananas all the time, like, regularly, like, almost daily. So I like them, but I don't like them in that way.
Huh.
I don't like them like that.
Captain D's is introducing new hand-breaded chicken tenders. They are meant to be crispier and juicier than before and come with the new Chicken D's signature dipping sauce. They also appear to be flakier, so you can get these on a new big chicken sandwich, the chicken tenders combo, or a chicken torpedo. This is a chicken tender in a warm roll with pickles and Chicken D's sauce.
Chicken torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Captain D's has had some fantastic rolls in the past, though, so that is the one that interests me, right? Put it on a nice roll.
I like both of those. Well, there used to be more than one, but Captain D's and what's the other
Long
one?
John Silver's. Long John.
I like those. They're not exactly they're not high end, but they're still good.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, there's fried. What's the nut?
There's
to
nothing
like?
Better than like the little crumbs of the batter that's left in the box, and you just eat that.
Oh, the crunchies.
Is that what you call them?
That's what I
like
them.
It. Little that's crunchies. A good name. Yeah.
Arby's is offering a $9.99 burger, shake, and fries meal, including a deluxe burger, medium fries, and a regular shake. I think this all adds up separately to about $15, so it's a good price if you're looking for a deal at Arby's.
Not bad.
And speaking of deals, Applebee's has launched a 50-cent mozzarella sticks deal for a limited time. It's only going on through July 28th and only at participating locations. You can find 50-cent mozzarella sticks at participating Applebee's locations. And I think you have to buy them four at a time, so $2 at a time, basically. But 50 cents for a mozzarella stick, that's pretty good.
Oh, they're 50 cents each?
Correct. Yeah, it's not for an order. Okay. An order, they would be losing a lot of money.
You know, when you add it up and you're like, well, if you get an order of them at a restaurant as an appetizer, what do you usually get, like 6 or 8?
Yeah.
And it's usually like 12 bucks or something like that.
All right.
So when you're putting it into that context, if you could get 8 of them for $4, that's a pretty good deal.
It is a good deal.
Yeah.
And my final fast food news story here, McDonald's has welcomed back the smoky BLT quarter pounder with cheese and the smoky BLT double quarter pounder with cheese. So the smoky BLT quarter pounder consists of a signature 100% fresh beef quarter pounder patty topped with 2 slices of American cheese, 3 half strips of thick cut applewood smoked bacon, lettuce, 3 slices of Roma tomatoes, and a smoky BLT sauce, all sandwiched between a toasted sesame seed bun. I'm making myself hungry talking about this.
Not hating on it. It actually sounds good, but what is smoky sauce?
Yeah, I'm curious.
So it is sauce seasoned with paprika, parsley, and black pepper.
But they don't tell you the base, Kev.
They don't tell you the base. I'm assuming it's
probably
it's a mayonnaise.
Yeah. Either that or it's a version of maybe the Big Mac sauce?
Yum.
Which is also, what is that? It's just
it's like Thousand Island.
Thousand Island.
I mean, it's not really. I think it's a mixture of like mayonnaise and ketchup and relish, but like it's basically Thousand Island sauce. Yeah. Still good though.
Hopefully everyone's nice and hungry after the fast food news segment.
Up against the wall, young tuck girl in a push-up. Hi, DJS on a Friday. Sue Thomas in with us for the 2 o'clock hour. Sue at 2, as we like to call it. How long's that been the name of the Sue Thomas production?
Since you moved to Camel.
Okay, so it's just relatively new.
Just over here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good deal. All right, Rach, you have rules for the Bachelorette contestants.
I do. The Bachelor season 21 of The Bachelorette kicked off this week. Can't believe there's been 21 seasons of that show. Let's see how many seasons of The Bachelor there have been. The Bachelor.
I'm gonna guess there's been 30.
Many 30? Seasons.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Did that come first? Was The Bachelor first?
The Bachelor was first. There have been 28 seasons of The Bachelor.
Ooh, close.
So, yeah, you were pretty close, but in Price is Right rules, you did bid over.
So sorry.
Season 21 kicked off earlier this week, and I'm just, through my Google search, I am realizing that fans spotted 2 rats running through a scene on the show.
I saw that video on Twitter. It was a very tender moment where they're, like, holding hands and looking deep into each other's
eyes.
These
two people
talking.
That barely know each other.
And then they kind of switch the shot and start to pan out, and as they're panning out, 2 enormous rats go running right by them.
Yeah.
And they don't notice, but they are. These things are like the size of, these things are like 1 foot long each.
Oh my gosh.
Some symbolism there.
So I do have some rules that the Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants have to follow when they're on the show.
All right.
So there's a minimum age requirement. You have to be at least 21. There's no word if there's an upper age limit, but I do think the oldest Bachelorette ever was 39 years old, and people were acting like she was about to die whenever that happened. They were like, she is so brave that she's doing this.
Can't believe it. Oh my goodness.
Everybody relax.
It's almost 40.
Contestants must be single. This should probably go without saying, but there have been plenty of contestants with boyfriends and girlfriends back home who are revealed during the course of the season.
Wait, what?
Gross. That is gross.
Yeah, because they just want to get on TV and hopefully win.
I know.
They don't want to break up with their significant other in case they lose.
But I'll break up with you in case I win and get to marry this other person.
Contestants must agree to be filmed 24/7, and all footage is owned by the show, and they can use it however they want. Even if there's 2 rats running around in the scene, they can still use that footage.
So, I'm sure there's like a code of honor.
No, certain things that will never.
Right, but I mean, like, they're not filming you like Big Brother, right? Like, it's not like Because Big Brother, like, they're not showing you in the shower.
No.
And they couldn't do that, right?
They don't ever show, like, their living quarters or anything like
that. Okay, that's what I mean. There has to be some place where you're not on camera.
Yeah, they're, like, bedrooms and stuff they never show. Okay. They never show the bathroom. They show them hanging out in, like, the living room a lot, but that's pretty normal.
So when you're in public spaces, you are always on camera.
Correct.
Good. All right, good.
There is a dress code. A lot of it has to do with avoiding patterns that clash on camera, like stripes, checkers, big patterns, and solid white clothes. I guess it doesn't look so great on TV, so they are pretty strict about that.
I'm sure they're all fashion forward anyway.
They confiscate your cell phone whenever filming begins. You also can't play much music because of copyright issues, so you have to be careful with that. Whenever they come up to the bachelor house, the mansion, in the limo, the producers choose the order contestants come out to make things as dramatic as possible. So, just a word to the wise.
I still am thinking about the whole, like, yep, got a boyfriend back home, girlfriend back home, but I'm still doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay.
It's not great.
Like, I could get that, like, Survivor or whatever, because, duh.
Right.
You're just going to
it's not
compete.
A dating show.
Right,
yeah.
You're not trying to marry some other person you've never met before.
Contestants don't normally eat when they're on dates. Producers actually send food to the rooms before their dates so they're not hungry and don't eat the food that's put in front of them. They go on dinner dates a lot, but you never see them actually eating it because people don't look good while they're eating.
Wow.
And microphones pick up all of the chewing sounds.
Then why do they go to a restaurant?
Because it looks good.
Why
it's
can't
aesthetic.
You just go like take a walk
TV.
On the beach? Or...
Yeah, you're forgetting, Kevin, this is for a television show.
No, I'm not
show,
forgetting
right?
it. I'm
you
just
need
saying
to make things aesthetically.
I'm just saying it's dumb, because this is one of the reasons why this whole idea, why I hate the idea of quote reality TV, because it is not reality.
But if you were watching,
everything is fake.
If you were watching a show and they're smacking and chomping the whole damn time while
not,
you're trying
listen,
to have a car, you'd
I'm
be
not,
like, this is awful.
I'm not saying they should chew into the microphones. I'm saying maybe just don't go to restaurants.
Oh, my gosh.
One more. There's no spoilers after filming wraps. Contestants sign all kinds of paperwork to ensure confidentiality, and the winner doesn't leak to the public.
Fair. Totally fair. The rest of it? Right, 2:34 on DGS. Dave will be back on Monday. Sue Thomas in for the 2 o'clock hour. Sue at 2. All right, this probably won't last very long. It's not meant to be a long conversation, but I mentioned the other day, Andrew, and I was surprised that you didn't know who Baba Vanga was.
Yes.
I don't know who
that was. Do you know who that is?
Baba
Vanga? And you heard me explain it. So Baba Vanga is a quote-unquote mystic, basically like Nostradamus, like predicting the future. But here's the thing. Like, people always, it's like, Baba Vanga predicted that this would be this. But then but it's never in advance. It's never like, here's a whole list of Baba Vanga's predictions, and we can track them in real time as they're happening. It's always after the fact, like, oh, she predicted that. Well, anyway, there was a story, like, in the New York Post, of course.
Wait a minute. Is Baba Vanga currently with us?
I think she's dead.
Oh.
But she made a bunch of predictions.
Oh, I see. And left them for us all to enjoy.
Yeah, so again, kind of like Nostradamus. She died in 1996. But she's a lady from Bulgaria, old lady, blind, but who had visions and saw the future. And there was a New York Post story the other day, which is what brought this up, that she had predicted that in 2025 will be the beginning of the end times for the planet Earth, for the human civilization. Anyway. My question that I wanted to ask today is not about any of her predictions, because you cannot find a list of her predictions anywhere. They just somebody will randomly point out, oh, my God, Baba Vanga predicted this. And nobody can be like, where's the book that says that she listed all these things? It's kind of like Nostradamus. It's the same thing.
I see.
It's 2024, right?
Uh-huh.
Why do people believe that other people can tell the future? Like, isn't that like an 1800s kind of thing when we thought that people were witches?
Well, I think...
Because, nobody sees the future. Nobody. I mean, people can analyze information and say, I think, based on this information that I have, that this could be a thing that could happen. But nobody, quote-unquote, sees or knows the future. No people. None. Zero.
Okay, so I already know the answer to this question, but Wheels, have you ever been to, like, a psychic or a tarot card reader?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Just doesn't even sound fun. Like,
no, it would be kind of fun to see what kind of goofy nonsense they're going to throw out there. Because, again, do we really think those cards are magical and give you vision into the future?
Could you do that in good faith, or would you be Kevin about it?
You mean like if I sat down in front of a tarot card reader?
Down, like, to have
I could not do it
read.
In good faith, no.
Okay.
I would be sitting there the whole time being like, this is so stupid.
It's people have always had a lot of fun with Nostradamus' prophecies. Why is this any different?
Well, no, it's not different, but it's
interesting. It's interesting to hear someone make a prophecy and then compare it to how...
Why is it a prophecy instead of just some random thing? Especially, like, in the Nostradamus case, none of it is even a direct prediction. It's all a weird, like, it's a poem that doesn't make any sense, and then people retrofit it into things that happen rather than it actually telling the future. There's a reason there's no list of Nostradamus predictions published anywhere. Because if you did that, there's nothing to fall back on. But, I mean, of the future, like things that have not yet happened. There will be people like, see, he predicted this and this and this because you're going to retrofit it into his little poem. But, like, guys, do you guys, any of you believe that human beings have the ability to see the future? Not just predict things based on information like, I think with the political environment between these two, they could clash in 5 years. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about predictions. I'm talking about claims that you can see the future.
Of specific events that you know will happen for sure, like on blah, blah,
like
date.
Like you could close your eyes and you see what's going to happen, not what might happen, not a possibility, but you're going to see exactly the future. This is the future. This is what's going to happen.
You're asking us if we believe that?
That's why do you know anybody that does?
No, but...
I don't understand why we give that stuff the time of day in 2024. And I don't mean like us talking about it. Like, why is it a newspaper headline? Why is it?
I don't know. I think it's the same reason people get into like astrology and tarot and stuff. It's because it's fun to believe. Not even fun, but I think sometimes people just want to believe in something. And if you're struggling with something, like, man, I've been on TikTok before and I've seen like psychics or astrology people being like, hey, if you're a Leo, I'm like, well, maybe I'll stick around and see what they have to say, like, just in case.
Also, you know, if you're struggling, right, and sometimes you just need a little external force to lift you up a little bit. So if you look at your horoscope and your horoscope says that like I'm a Cancer, for example, my birthday's today. And so if you look at that and you see like, hey, you're gonna have a great day today, you're gonna have good luck with your with your romantic partner, or something good's gonna happen to you financially or whatever, you start to draw the connections in your life and see positive things that weren't necessarily
okay,
there already.
That's fine. But do you actually believe
it? You know what? It's okay.
Like when you see a horoscope and it says, you have great fortune in your future. Do you believe it? Because I don't. I look at that and going, no, that, I mean, I might, but you don't know that. That's not a thing that you can tell by looking at stars.
I don't believe it, but I look at it and I go, ooh, I hope so.
But that, again, so that's different. So if we're doing it, like if you're doing that as a form of like entertainment or like, oh, that's kind of, but then does it ever say anything bad? Did it ever say, like, your week's going to suck this week?
Yeah, it'll say bad things.
Does
like,
it?
Not outright bad. It doesn't say, like, you're going to stub your toe. But it might say, stop yelling. Might say something along the lines of, you know, maybe avoid going on dates or whatever this week.
I know, but does it ever, I'm asking serious, honest, legit question because I don't know. Do people's horoscopes ever say, this is going to be a terrible month for you?
I think that, I mean, I don't know if I don't know enough about like every horoscope to answer that question, but I know you can get like fortunes and stuff that will definitely tell you like, this is an unlucky fortune or this is a bad time for you.
Okay.
They definitely exist.
That then at least it's not, because I get it. I get that. Like, I get what Andrew's saying. Like you see something, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I hope that happens. Like, I get that, but I don't believe that there is a human being now on this earth or ever on this earth that knew the future.
What's this lady's name again?
It's Baba Vanga.
Okay.
I noticed they never go negative with the old Chinese food fortune.
Yeah. Fortune
just
cookie.
To make you feel better about it after
you
eat the meal.
Here are your lucky numbers.
That's right.
I opened a fortune cookie and just said, you did it all wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's all wrong.
There's no hope for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get it right next time, but you did it all wrong this time.
You are doomed.
You really, just one by one. You just,
wouldn't it be
year
great?
After year, you mess this one up.
I would totally love it if I opened up a fortune cookie that said, man, you blew it this time.
Yeah, you really blew it.
What's wrong? Or what's wrong with you?
Shouldn't have opened this one.
What's wrong with you?
That would be so great.
I want Chris Ronji to start writing fortune cookies.
Hey, dingus, you blew it.
my gosh, I don't know why that struck me as so funny.
But that's really what he did.
Yeah. Hey, dingus. You really blew it.
Really dropped this one in the mud.
Stop being like Amy.
Oh, do you guys know that my brother who lives in Houston is on day 3 or 4 with no electricity?
Oh,
oh my goodness.
Because of Beryl?
Yeah. Beryl really knocked, I guess, about 3 million people without power down there.
Mm.
And I finally got to him yesterday. I sent him a text and I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of bitterness? And he said in 3 seconds, 10. He said he's thinking of buying a generator for the next time.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised.
Don't buy it now because they're going to gouge you.
Correct.
But yeah.
I'm so consistently surprised by how bad the grid is down in Texas.
Because
we've been seeing this year after year in the winter when these big freezes they've had a couple times in the last few years.
Yeah.
And it just like completely destroys the power grid down there. I'm really surprised they haven't made more, I don't know,
more changes.
Effort. Yeah, it feels like it's become a point where every harsh season, like winter and summer, I mean, we end up with a story about some large swath of Texas that's having horrible power grid issues.
Yep. And it's a problem.
I feel terrible for them. I mean, people are dying down there.
I mean, according to what I just looked up to see why, they have created a system where the natural gas production relies on electricity and the electricity relies on natural gas production.
What could go wrong?
What the heck?
And he says, and of course it's hot because it's, Houston in the summer.
Yeah.
And it's just really brutal. And you know what they've taken to do is downloading the Whataburger app. Because the Whataburger app, you can see which stores are open because they have power.
This.
And then you can go around there and say, oh, well, ooh, it's safe to go to that restaurant. Or I bet that hotel has power because it's nearby.
Yeah, I saw that because the power company's app and website and stuff has no tracking ability on it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I saw people are using Whataburger
to figure out.
Because there's 1,000 Whataburgers down there.
Yeah.
It is fascinating because this has been a problem for years. It's a huge state with huge cities and a lot of people. And I'm sure it's got to be one of the highest GDP states in the country,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's got to be top 3 or 4.
Houston is about to overtake Chicago, I believe.
Oh, really?
In
population?
Size, yeah.
Obviously, Dallas is massive. I mean, like, that is a huge state that has the means to fix things. Why are they not fixing it?
Who knows? I could listen, call Jeff and ask him. He'll give you an earful.
I'm sure. And I'm sure none of it's good.
Uh-uh.
But you would think that would be a bit of a priority when it's happened several times. I mean, again, look, it's not your fault that a hurricane hit. But, I mean, hurricanes hit Florida quite a bit. And doesn't happen with the same frequency that it lasts like this.
Right.
All right. So we did fast food earlier. Let's do snacks now.
Oh, I meant to tell you in the break. I don't think we should do that. I think that's more.
Oh, no, I got a different one.
Do a different one.
No, Andrew had a Funyun for the first time in his life.
I did. I just tried a Funyun.
Wait a minute. You've never had a Funyun till today? What is happening?
Yeah. Well, Rachel brought in an assortment box
of chips and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, feel free to have some.
And if you like one, help yourself. It's in the office.
Yeah, you can have the rest of those Funyuns.
Oh, no, thank you.
you did.
You don't want our leftover Funyuns?
There's good chips in there. It's not just.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, what'd you think of the Funyun?
Not bad. Not bad. It tasted
Did I
like
describe
a,
it well?
Yeah, like a corn roll with onions.
Yeah, I said
or whatever
like,
you said.
It's like it's corn puffy stuff with the onion flavor that's on the sour cream and onion chip.
Corn puffy stuffed.
Andrew, why had you been avoiding the Funyun?
I'm not a big onion fan in general.
Okay. Yep.
In fact, even if I use them in like cooking and stuff, I'll usually separate them. From
the
whatever
onions.
I cook. Yeah, because I like the onion. I like a little onion flavor in there, but I don't particularly. I don't like the squish.
The
squish of the onion, right?
Huh.
That kind of like.
Like you mean when it's cooked?
Yeah, when you're biting into it, when you take a big
chomp
of
it. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Although I like onion flavored things.
Yeah, that's what
which
I'm saying. I like a good onion flavor. So I cook with it and then I usually separate them out.
So for you guys, you youngins, Rach and Andrew. What was the snack, like the big snack that everybody needed to have or wanted to have when it first came out, like you remember from school or whatever?
Oh, wow.
I've got a couple.
What's that?
Dunkaroos was one.
Oh,
I always wanted those, but we never had them at my house. But like, okay, my friends would have them at school, and I was like, man.
Wait, what's a Dunkaroo? Is that the stick that you dip into the sugar? No, that's something else. What's a Dunkaroo? That's a fun dip.
You're thinking
those are
fun?
Yeah, those are fun dips. Yeah,
those are big when we were kids.
Which those are fantastic as well. Fun dips are
they were donuts.
Wait,
Dunkaroos, I'm pretty sure, were like a graham cracker that you dipped in an icing.
Yeah, there you go.
And then they also made a stick that you would dip into cheese, which was like, I forget what that
was
called.
That's old school,
though. I do too. But yeah, that was fine. Dunkaroos were great, though, because they had the frosting that was next to it. You had the vanilla frosting, chocolate frosting.
So that was like the thing as kids you guys had to have.
That was a big 90s snack.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big, big
snack. What was the big snack when you were a kid?
Gushers were huge. Warheads.
I feel like everybody was eating Doritos when I was a kid.
Yeah, that was us.
Yeah.
And there was only one kind of Doritos.
I feel like I said
original Doritos.
Doritos. Doritos. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. But they would come out with, then it was Cool Ranch, and then they kept going.
They came out with the taco flavored ones, which is, those are old school too.
Oh, yeah.
Those might have been before the Cool Ranch.
Mm-mm.
But guys, I was around when Cool Ranch Doritos came out.
You know what else
I was around for? The dawn of Mountain Dew.
Oh. What are you talking about? That had been out for a long time.
No, but like when it was it was a 70s thing when it became. Yeah, that's when I got. I was around for that when it was in the glass bottle.
Yeah.
And at the time, you and I were pretty close, right? In age, Sue?
Yeah.
There was like Coke and Pepsi. And then a lot of local companies had them, like, you know, depending on where you grew up, you had local soda makers here and there, like Ski or whatever. But
I remember Orange Crush being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That was new. Like, when we were kids, it was new. Like, the Orange Crush, Sunkissed, and then Mountain Dew came along. And that was all any of us wanted. We were like, Mountain Dew!
When did Sprite come out? See, now you're making me look
old. 7-Up was a 70s thing also. I don't remember when Sprite was new.
I'm looking at the Mountain Dew Wikipedia page, and it said it was introduced in 1940.
Yeah, it wasn't, but it wasn't like advertised, maybe the way I would put it.
Oh, okay.
Like, they put on a big push. In the 70s, they had the "Give Me a Mountain with Nothing to Do," and there's all these like commercials of people like jumping into the lake and having a party, and all of us kids. So I guess that's when television, like the ad campaigns, kicked in. Maybe the better way to put it.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper is old.
Yeah,
I found that out today.
But it was a regional thing for a while, right? Wasn't it a Southern thing for a long time?
I don't know. I talked about it in that interview again today. It was somebody from the Missouri History Museum, Sam Warren. He said that it was around at the World's Fair in 1904. Yes. In fact, it's a year older than Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right now. It says it's the oldest major soft drink in America.
Yeah.
First sold in 1885.
How about that?
What makes it taste like Dr. Pepper?
23 different flavors.
Yeah, there's 23 different flavors.
But what are they? I know that.
The flavors are good, yummy, delicious.
Yeah, that's
good,
right.
Yummy, delicious.
I always try to figure it out. Like,
smooth.
Yeah.
Like, is there just a cherry flavor in there? And then you're like, no.
There is, I think, a cherry flavor in there.
Yeah, there is it feels like it, right? Like, there's a little cherry Coke, cherry Pepsi kind of vibe.
Warheads big in your sphere, Rach, when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
Warheads were so intimidating. I was so terrified.
Oh, yeah.
Jawbreakers in general were big in my private grade school. But Warheads in particular, I was quite intimidated by, because everybody else could handle them, and I would see... I would see what they would do to the little cartoon man on the package, and I'm like, I don't want that for me.
It would mess his whole day up.
It would mess his whole day up, but I'm like, I'm barely holding on here as it is.
Yeah, so
I can't be introduced in this kind of trouble.
So I'm looking at this Dr. Pepper page, and so it was first commercially sold in 1885. Their early advertisement said that it, quote, aids digestion and restores vim, vigor, and vitality.
That's right, brother.
I found that to be true. My vim is much improved.
Yeah, my vim is at, you know, all-time vim levels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't even know what vim is anymore. What is that? I know, like, people say vim and vigor, like, together, but I don't know what it means.
Energy. Is health it? And energy. Yeah.
And vitality. You know, we think advertising's bad now, right? We think advertising's bad now, but back then it was like, this soft drink will make you feel better and cigarettes will save your life.
Here's a special elixir that'll fix all your problems. It's like terrible.
Oh, yeah, I'll take eight.
That was pretty good, old timer.
Thanks.
I'll take as many as you'll give me.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong? I don't know. My vim is just down lately.
Yeah, you know, something with the vitality is just not right. What do you say?
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.